I grew up driving an ATV and catching night crawlers to use as fishing bait. I never liked dolls, I wasn't interested in makeup, and I hated to shop. But my skin, knees, messy hair, and dirty fingernails made for a wonderful childhood. My parents convinced me I could do whatever boys did, and I certainly tried. Whether it was racing the boys at recess or arm wrestling them into submission, I was able to keep up most of the time. But I wasn't trying to prove anything. I was just having fun. The first time I recall encountering the word sexist was when I was in the 7th grade. My algebra teacher always asked a sports-related bonus question that had nothing to do with math. But if you got the answer correct, he added 5 points to your test grade. It was frustrating that 5 points hinged on knowing who ran the most yards in Sunday's football game or who scored the most points in last year's NBA playoffs. But no one complained. One day, I was sick and had to stay home from school. I missed an algebra test, so I had to stay after school the following day to make it up. The bonus question was about a Major League Baseball player. Fortunately, I loved baseball, and I knew the answer. My teacher handed the graded test back to me the next day at the beginning of class. Written across the top of the page in red ink were the words, "Zero bonus points. You only got this right because one of your friends told you the question ahead of time." I was horrified that my teacher thought I cheated, but I didn't say anything to him. I didn't know what to say, so I brought the test home and showed my dad. My dad promptly wrote a note back to the teacher. "Amy owns more than 10,000 baseball cards, and she watches baseball games on TV with me every week. But because she got your bonus answer correct, you accused her of cheating. She knew the answer fair and square. But what's not fair is that you ask sports-related questions that have nothing to do with math. Clearly, you are trying to give the boys an advantage since most 13-year-old girls aren't following professional sports that closely." I gave the note to my teacher the next day and quickly took my seat. When he was done reading it, he announced to the class, "I can't give you bonus questions anymore because someone's father thinks I'm sexist." That was the last time my teacher ever gave us a bonus question, and that was the first time I really thought about sexism. It occurred to me that he didn't assume my friends told me any of the math questions ahead of time, just the sports question. And he assumed I couldn't possibly know the answer to an obscure baseball question unless I cheated. I can't help but wonder if he would have made that same assumption if I was a boy. That happened 25 years ago, and I'd like to think teachers aren't still giving boys an unfair advantage in the classroom. But research shows it's still happening, and we'll talk more about those specifics later on. I'd also like to think students and parents wouldn't be so tolerant of something like that these days. Back then, no one said anything, and neither did their parents. We tolerated it. Had my teacher not accused me of cheating, I don't know if my father would have raised the issue. My ideas about sexism have certainly shifted since the 7th grade, and thankfully, so have our cultures. Still, women continue to face unique challenges in today's world. I've seen it in my therapy office, as well as in my own life. My interest in mental strength is personal. When I landed my first job as a therapist, I was excited to help people overcome the challenges they faced. I was armed with a master's degree and knowledge I'd gleaned from my textbooks, college lectures, and internships. During my first year as a therapist, however, my mother passed away suddenly and unexpectedly. My quest to learn about mental strength became personal. I started studying everyone who came into my therapy office on a deeper level. I realized that some people were more likely to get better than others. They bounced back faster, they were hopeful about the future, and no matter what problems they faced, they persisted. I wanted to know what specifically made these people tick. Then, in a cruel twist of fate, on the 3-year anniversary of my mother's death, my 26-year-old husband, Lincoln, died of a heart attack. Being a 26-year-old widow was a surreal experience. The grief was overwhelming at times, but I knew that allowing myself to experience painful emotions was part of the healing process.